Jag blev rånad av en kille med kort ljust hår.
Kort ljust hår? Ja, om han hade sagt... Så du skulle stoppa alla kort ljust hår personer?
Nej, då hade jag gått precis till den bussuppplatsen och så ser
jag ser ut som en kvinna. Ja. Jag har inte sett ut som en man.
Nej.
Jag trodde... Hur kan det här bli?
From the back that her son has been robbed and she was so stressed and from the back I looked maybe like the person. But the thing is, she didn't saw the son being robbed. That's what I realized afterwards. So she plain used that, like what she thought was what her son told her he would be.
Yeah.
And she followed me based on that. She didn't tell me anything about the clothes the man was wearing, anything else. She just followed me.
A black man.
With dreads. She didn't tell me the clothes, anything. And when I look it after, my clothes doesn't match anything with him. Like I... Even the hair, nothing match.
Yeah.
But she, based on those two things that the son told her, she started to follow me and she calls the police and they stop me. Even when she says in the phone, it's a man. It was a black man with rastas. And I'm a woman. And even with that, the police stops me. And I was thinking that over and over again. I was like, this is unbelievable. I need to make a complaint about this. And I was asking them. And I decided to film when I realized that they were not going to help me. And they were just like not focus on me at all. So I had my phone still in my hand. I was like, no, I need to film this. And I was like, I started crying because it was like, you know, when you speak and no one is hearing you and you're alone because at this point, no one had stopped. And I was like, I need to take my phone. I need to take something from here.
Alright, so today I'm gonna go with English or Swinglish rather, if you know me well. I have a very, very special guest and I'm deeply, deeply thankful that she's able to be here. And I'm also, you know, again, I'm also saddened by the fact that she has to be here. But I've invited Katya Hernandez. I said wrong, right? It should just be Katya, right? I'm over trying, my bad.
No, but it's not Spanish, so it's Katya Fernandez.
Okay, so Katya Fernandez. Yeah, let's just go with that. I'm super happy that you're here. I'm obviously not happy for the reason to why you are here, and we're going to talk about that. But it's been a couple of turbulent days for you because you were pretty much racially profiled the other day on Lili Holmenbrun.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what happened? And so I just want to, and it's been well publicized, you know, I know that Lovette lifted it and published it on her Instagram. Yes. You did as well. And I just saw this this event on all of my social media. Flöde, I'm just going to go with English. Flow, it should be flow, right? And I was, you know, I was deeply saddened, but I also because you see this all the time, it feels like it's kind of reliving trauma in a sense. So I was very sad about it, but then I figured I was very proud of you that you, you know, came forward and that you actually spoke about it. And I just felt like the least that I can do is, you know, amplify black voices and especially what happened to you. So let's just begin by stripping everything down and just, how are you?
I'm okay. It has been a very interesting time now.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted. I was exhausted before. And after this, I think I just collapsed and I have no energy. And I'm pretty sad that this happened to me and it could happen to everyone.
Mm.
So I'm at the same time, I'm pretty happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm very,
and to talk with you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. But I'm really sorry that you're sorry.
Yeah.
And but I also feel like let's just use our platforms and our voices. And I was so happy that you decided to do that.
No, I admire your energy and your engagement because at this point we are adults and I guess that you as me, you as sorry as I am.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, it's hard.
No, don't worry about it. So how the last days been?
Intense. It has been a lot of communication and a lot of people reaching out to getting to know what's happened and to support and to say their frustration about this and everything else. And I have tried to keep it up, to sleep, but it has been very hard. But at the same point, I'm very proud that I put this out.
Yeah.
Because it's validating something that I felt and that a lot of people also feel all the time. And I think it's so important that we talk about this and that we discuss this and that people around us mostly start talking about this on a serious note.
Let's just go back to that day. It was what, 4 days ago, 5 days ago?
It was Monday evening.
That's fresh. This week.
This week. I know that Lovette changed 5 days ago, but it was a little bit miscommunication with everyone.
Got it.
It doesn't really matter because
it doesn't matter, yeah.
So it was on Monday, actually. I left my old apartment. I left the keys in my old apartment and I decided to take a walk to my new apartment.
Yeah.
Because it was good weather and I was a little bit sad of leaving my old apartment. So I just wanted to take some fresh air.
So you're already like in your feelings.
A little bit, but it was good to walk. And, I went to Örnsköldsvik, and then went toward the Brunn, the bridge, the Liljeholmen bridge. And it was so sunny. And then I took my phone because I was like, oh, this is such a nice, it's so nice. I'm going to take pictures. And I was walking very calmly, nothing else, looking at my phone, taking pictures. And then I look in front of me and I see a police car van approaching. And they're getting closer and closer. And I'm walking, I was like...
Is it like behind you or...
No, in front of me.
Oh, in front of you.
So coming from the Liljeholmen side.
So did you react by seeing the police car? I mean, I always do like instinctively when I see a police car, something happens with my body.
Not really, because I wasn't expecting that it would be something.
Yeah, you were doing...
I was doing me.
Yeah,
I was just walking.
You know, melanating and, you know...
Exactly, I was just
enjoying
walking.
Enjoying the sun, just living your best life, really.
I was like, that's the thing, I was so surprised. So then the car approach and the two police officers, they stop, they get out of the car and they start walking on my direction. And that's when I...
So what happens with you when you see that?
I got scared.
Yeah.
I got very scared and surprised. And I just like, my thoughts like, okay, what did I do? What did I do?
Yeah.
And then I start thinking, I left my old apartment. It was something there. I start thinking a lot of things that makes no sense, but I was just scared. So they approach me, but they don't get too close, but they kind of scream to me, just like, stop. I said, stanna. Stanna där.
So in these seconds where they're coming towards you, I mean, do you remember what you were thinking? Did you have any like?
I was thinking about the weather, and then I started thinking about police coming to me, and I was just scared.
Yeah.
I think I just blocked at that second, and I was just like thinking, what did I do?
Mm.
What is sad? It's pretty sad that my first thought was like, what did I do?
Yeah.
So they tell me to stop. They don't talk to me, anything. They just tell me, stop, stay there. And I look behind and they're looking behind as well. And a lady is walking behind me on a rush. And she comes closer and closer.
And she's behind you?
Yeah, she's behind. So she's been following me.
Oh.
That's the thing.
And you didn't notice it before?
No, not at all. Not at all. Because I guess what I realized at the end that she might be following me because she was on the phone with the police. And that's how she said, I'm following this person, meet me at the bridge or something like that.
Well, she called them?
Yeah, she was on the phone with them.
Okay. Oh,
at the same time. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So they were, when they stopped me, she was coming behind, she had the phone, and she was talking on the phone, I guess, with some police officer. And they ask her, like, "Är det hon eller han?" Like,
yeah.
And they see clearly that I'm a woman.
Oh, yeah.
But they ask her, like, is she or him? Like,
is that what they said?
That's what I mean,
you
know, this is what I have, what I have in my head.
Blur, of course.
But this is how I understand.
Yeah.
Because then she comes, and then she says... Det var en man med rastaflattor, en svart man eller en miss eller färgad eller
med rastaflattor. There's so many wrongs in that.
Yeah,
it's a black man with dreadlocks, not a färgad man with rastaflattor. Already like a warning signal there.
Yeah. Så Så då sa hon, kanske det inte är henne. Eller,
yeah, var någonting så. I understand, yeah, yeah, okay.
And then I look at her. And at that point, I just like, wow. I look at the police officer like, what do you mean? And then she tries to explain the situation. And she says that her son was just robbed at the bus station. And that it was a man, a black man with rastas.
Yeah, färgad man med rastas. Yeah. I actually heard that on your,
On video. Video, yeah. And then I look at her and I say,
jag blev rånad av en kille med kortljus på.
Kortljus då?
Ja, om han hade
så
sagt,
du skulle stappa alla kortljus
då? Nej, då hade jag gått precis till den busshållplatsen och så ser
jag ser ut som en kvinna. Ja. Jag inte ser ut som en man.
Nej.
Jag tutte, jag hur jag kan det här bli?
But I'm a woman. And then she did, oh, I know, but on the back, I didn't know, I couldn't tell. And I was like, are you joking? Alltså, skojade du? And then the police officer is in front of me and is like, are you guys joking? Are you stopping me? What are you going to do now? And then at the same time, I look around because I was so scared that he would like take me. So I look around to see if someone would stop. But no one was stopping. And I got even more angry because the moment the police car stopped, everyone just got away. And no one really stopped to see what's going on. And I was just like, okay, I'm alone here. And then it was that. And then we just discussing back and forth, like, why did you stop me? It's because I'm black and I have a long hair. I don't have rastas.
Yeah, like, I mean, let's just begin by saying that to the listeners. It's you don't have dreadlocks.
I have twists.
Yeah.
Twist hair, that's, long twisted hair.
Is that an overkush, I think.
And I need to say something about my hair because I've been so scared to do this hairstyle.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Yeah, I have it's a little bit embarrassed because I've shared with my friends that if I have to look for a job, if I have to go somewhere, if the way people look, I grow up with people seeing people with braids and hairstyles, African hairstyles, being mistreated or like downgraded or everything you know.
Yeah. I mean, there is this is documented.
It's so many stigma around this.
Yeah, of course.
So I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed to tell my friends. It's like, oh yeah, this is, does it look nice? Because I'm not sure, but I love it. And I've been wanting to do this. Last time I had...
It looked dope too.
Time I had my hair like this, I was like 15.
Yeah.
But then I live in a white world.
Yeah.
And I have to... And it's embarrassing I have to mix myself up and make myself look good to something.
So you're already hesitant.
Yeah, exactly.
And I comment
that. And it's so crazy that this happens
like
5 days after I have my hairstyle out. It's just a bad coincidence, but it's, oh my God, it's just crazy.
Okay, so she follows you around?
Yeah.
And at what point do you decide to, I'm going to film this?
It was because I asked her why she did this and based on what, and I talk with the police at the same time, and they're in front of me, but they're not being very concrete or like, they're just telling me that this happens all the time.
And what were they referring to?
They mean that people are...
misgendering and
Is
that what they meant?
Yeah, this is what I meant. Like everyone, they mistake people all the time.
Oh, okay, got it.
That I wasn't just me, but at the same time, it's just like you don't mistake people all the time. You mistake black people all the time. Yeah. I'm so sorry, but it was that you.
Did you say that to
yeah,
them?
Yeah, of
and
course.
What was their answer?
And they were like, they couldn't verbalize anything. That's the thing. And I was talking, and then I decided, okay. So I got so angry that I was just like, I need her contact. I need to. Make a complaint about this.
Yeah.
File a complaint about this because this is not okay. And at this point, with everything happening in the world, I need to file a complaint against her. And then she says at first, of course, you can have my contact. Like she was so embarrassed as well, but she never apologized. But she says, but let me explain. You can have my contact, but let me explain. And she goes over and over again. And the police is there.
So what was her explanation?
She was just saying that.
Ja. Jag frågar bara henne, så nu måste du vilja anmäla med henne.
Och så kan vi anmäla för att du för
att. Men jag måste vänta, det är det de säger.
Så sa jag så här, är det en tjej som ni ser?
Nej, jag vill bara ha hennes kontakt. Jag vill gå iväg. Jag vill bara ha hennes kontakt. Det är ingenting annat.
From the back that her son has been robbed and she was so stressed. And from the back, I looked maybe like the person. But the thing is, she didn't saw the son being robbed. That's what I realized afterwards. So she plain used that, like what she thought was what her son told her he would be.
Yeah.
And she followed me based on that. She didn't tell me anything about the clothes the man was wearing, anything else. She just followed me.
A black man.
With dreads. She didn't tell me the clothes, anything. And when I look it after, my clothes doesn't match anything with him. Like even the hair, nothing match.
Yeah.
But she, based on those two things that the son told her, she started to follow me and she calls the police and they stop me. Even when she says in the phone, it's a man. It was a black man with rastas. And I'm a woman. And even with that, the police stops me. And I was thinking that over and over again. I was like, this is unbelievable. I need to make a complaint about this. And I was asking them. And I decided to film when I realized that they were not going to help me. And they were just like not focus on me at all. So I had my phone still in my hand. I was like, no, I need to film this. And I was like, I started crying because it was like, you know when you speak and no one is hearing you?
Yeah.
And you alone, because at this point no one had stopped. And I was like, I need to take my phone. I need to take something from here.
Because you started talking to yourself about nobody will believe me.
Yeah, yeah. And also like, I'm overreacting. I start asking myself because for them it's just like someone got robbed. That's what is important. And nothing else I would say would matter at that time. And I was like, no. But at the same time, when this happens, another girl comes and stops, a black girl.
Yeah.
We need to mention that because
of course, yeah.
She stops it first and she checks on me and then comes another two.
Because she sees that you're distressed at this point, you're crying.
Yeah, exactly. And then another two black girls also stop. Yeah,
they stop.
Black woman.
Yeah.
And, stop for me.
And this whole situation, how is the behavior of the police? According to your experiences, how were they?
They weren't really listen to me. That's what I feel.
Yeah.
Felt. That I was, because for me and for the people that stopped for me, we were saying that I have the right to have her contact and they weren't listen.
Mm.
I even had an officer telling me like, what if she doesn't want to give it to you?
Oh.
Because it was a man officer and with him it was just a lost case because he wasn't really listening to me. And when
So there were two of them.
Yeah, at first it was two and then
because
another.
Because it felt like it was two cars.
Yeah, exactly. It was two of them at first.
Yeah.
And then when we start talking and directing, another van arrived. So it was like two vans for police officers. And the man that was there, he didn't want to listen to me. So when I took the phone, is when he reacts. He says like, "Vi måste låta henne förklara." He says this on
for
the video.
For you or for?
For her. I guess for her.
I think I heard that on the video.
Yeah, on the video.
Well.
Yeah. She said
something like, "Man, låt henne förklara."
Oh, exactly.
Something like that.
Exactly.
And he sounded like irritated.
Yeah, annoyed.
Annoyed. Yeah,
annoyed because
annoyed,
we have someone who got robbed and you here complaining about this.
That he said actually, right?
No, he didn't say that. Okay, but this is me assuming because you can see clearly in his face like how annoyed he is.
Yeah, he did sound annoyed for sure.
Yeah, he's very, very annoyed. So I just decided like, I need to take my phone and I start filming and we like, start talking with them and I asking is that's like I can go, I just want their number and contact. And when I realized that I couldn't talk with him, I go to another office and then she tells me, like, I understand your frustration, but this happens all the time. And then I look at her as I say, yeah. And then we interact a little bit and I say, but I just want her number. And then she looked at me, I understand. But what if she doesn't want to give you a number?
The police officer
said. Yeah, I said that. And I was like, are you joking? Why wouldn't she want to give? She told me she wanted to give me a number. Why are you making this so difficult? Yeah. I was telling them, it is easy. I go away. If I have the right to this, you guys stop me based on nothing. So I have the right to have her contact. I have the right to have your like car license. I have the right to do whatever I want to do with this information. And we went over and over, and I asked, and still I didn't got anything. And the girls who were there also tried, but then she had to do because she had children. And that's something like she had small children. And
the black mother.
Yeah, exactly. She had small children. And I understand like it's hard for her to just be here and like with her children seeing this scene. And it's like, but another girl stayed. And I was so thankful because she was right there for me. But it also, it just.
Yeah, big shout out to all the
black women. Yeah, to all the black women who stayed for me. Like, seriously, it was amazing.
It's a big shout out.
I was crying, I was nervous, I was scared, and I felt very lonely at the moment and felt like I wasn't being heard. And you tried as much as I tried to get to be heard by them. But it didn't matter. But I believe if you'd be one woman or one white man stopping and making the same question, give her the number, maybe things would be different. Yeah. I'm going to assume that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's my story.
Yeah, no, we should ask. It's a valid question.
It's
to
a
ask,
valid question sure. to do because I just feel that.
I mean, we know from within research that white people tend to listen to white people, and men tend to listen to men. So that assumption is grounded
and,
on something.
And they tried to tell me like it wasn't ras profilering. They tried, and I was
so
like,
they actually said it. It's not. They denied.
It's not based because I think one of the girls said something like that, and then they. They just say, no, it's not based on that.
Yeah.
This happens all the time. And it's crazy that they keep going with this happens all the time, that you miss like misplaced people.
It's not good
PR. No, not at all. So at this point, I'm just like, they're discussing there. And the man tells me as well, oh, if you want to file a complaint, you have to wait here because something more important has happened now, like the robbery.
Oh.
So he tells me, if you want to file a complaint, you have to wait here. And he was quite aggressive as well. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't smart.
So your encounter with the police.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It wasn't good because, everyone makes mistakes. But then you apologize and you show that you want to apologize as well.
So
but
did you get an apology?
No, not even because she wanted to excuse herself. The police officer understand my frustration, but no one really said, I'm so sorry you're feeling like this and everything. She just, I understand your frustration. We got to do this. This happens all the time. But no one really say like...
This is the police saying.
Yeah. The police, and even the woman, she didn't really apologize. She was just like, my son, and this happened for this reason. And I'm like, I'm right here.
Mm.
I'm a person too.
Mm.
Can you imagine the trauma? and it's nothing new for me, but he's just like, I don't need that right now. I just wanted to walk home. So they didn't really apologize. And I was so mad. And I was just like, I just gave up. Because the girls had to leave. And I was just like, I just give up. And I was crying. And I was just like, I took a picture of the cars. License. And I was like, I'm glad I have my videos. They are like messy videos, but you can understand what it's going
course.
On, you know?
I mean, it's not like you had time to think to see, about the visual. The visuals has to be perfect. I mean, you're not in that frame of mind.
Yeah.
But I'm happy you did film it.
Yeah.
Because I understand your feeling that if I don't film it, nobody will believe it.
Yeah, I wanted to validate.
Through this kind of system so many, I mean, this situation so
and
many
the feeling
times.
That you're like, I'm overreacting when you start questioning yourself, like, I'm overreacting, or is this for real happening right now?
Yeah.
Should I take it easy, or should I be this angry? Because I was very, very, very angry at that point.
So how long did this interaction? How long was it? Do you remember?
No. That's the thing. I was just walking, so I had no notion of time. But when I look at my phone, I wasn't looking at the time. But when I look at the videos, the first video was at 7:30, and I haven't looked at the last video, but I think it might have been like 20 minutes.
Okay.
Something like that. Maybe
When you are after, a certain point.
Yeah, I just
you
give
leave
up.
And so you feel like you want to give up. So what happens?
Then I walk some step and I'm crying and I see people, they look at me. People are walking the bridge. That bridge is always someone walking there.
Yeah, it's a busy bridge for sure.
And some of them saw my interaction. You see my video. Some people are like running and like doing stuff behind me. So I just leave and people see me cry and I walk some steps and I just hide myself in a corner and get my phone and call my boyfriend, and he was working so he didn't answer. So then I called a friend as well and she didn't answer right away. And I was like, oh my God. And then I just I need to talk with someone. So I went to my girlfriend's group chat and I wrote there that I just got stopped by the police and I sent the videos and I just got so worried. And I was like, and then my battery on my phone was dying. And I was like, I need to get home. So I walked to Liljeholmen and I take the train and I'm just like, I'm just shaking and I'm scared. And I just like, this really happened? And my phone eventually dies. And I tried to get home as soon as possible. Then I see that my friends also called and we talk about it. But it was so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It was horrible. And that feeling, no one will take it from me. And it could, and for me, when I think about it, because I have tolerance as an adult, I have a lot of tolerance. For me, it would be so much easier if the police had just apologized. Or like if they wouldn't have like stopped me the way they stopped me, because it felt like they didn't talk at me. They just like stopped me and waited for someone else to say something, even knowing it was a man and never a woman.
How did that make you feel?
It's sad. Most of everything, it makes me sad. I'm angry, but I'm sad that this happens at this point because I'm not less than anyone in that place over there. And I know that, but when these things happen, it just puts you in a place that you just like doubt yourself as well and doubt your worth and all those things. And it goes a lot on your head. So you just get very sad and you just wish and embarrassed. It was so embarrassed to be in that situation because you're just like, I have nothing like to hide or nothing. Why this is happening to me? Why people are watching this is happening to me and doing anything? So it was just very embarrassing. Wow. The whole situation and sad.
I get sad listening to you.
Yeah, it's.
I really do. I mean, it just gives me flashbacks for so many times I've been in a similar situation, and we keep hearing these stories and these testimonies and people talking about, especially Black people, how we've been.
I know. And for the past month,
by the police,
for the past month, it's been so much
given
things.
Given the global context.
Yeah, triggering. Yeah. It's so much triggering things going on the internet. And I have a void as a Black person looking at it. I talk with my friends about it, but I've also stopped talking to them about that because it takes so much energy of yourself. So it is so triggering. And when it happens to you, you want to talk about it, but you also feel sorry for your Black friends that you need, because I call a Black friend right away as well, because I wanted to tell her my experience. But at the same time, when I was telling her, I was thinking, oh my God, this is so triggering for her. And I wanted to stop as well. And she advised me, like, you should go home and just like, because this takes a lot of your mental health. Like, go home and like, when I was home, it was like, just try to rest. And
so now you're home, you get home.
Yeah, I get home. And then I get my phone back and then I can talk with everyone about this. And then I was talking with her and she was like, but you know what, just try to rest now. Write about, because I was telling her, I want to write about this. I want to make this public or something. I was like, no, but do that tomorrow. This is too much. And I was like, no, I want to do it now because now I know the details. I don't want to forget anything. So it was so important for me to write down the details of my experience, because the day after I might be like, oh, it happened, but maybe I shouldn't say anything. So I wrote it down, I published it, and I was like, yeah, I can leave my phone now and rest. But at least I know I wrote about it and I have published it. And then the rest, we know.
The rest is history.
Don't downgrade.
Yeah.
Downgrade yourself, because we are equal here. You know, maybe I had not the easiest upbringing, growing up and everything, but I have made myself the person that I am today, and I'm super proud of that. And when things like this happen, and I see people looking at me like I'm less or no less, I need to share my experience. I need to be confrontal, and I need to speak up. And I feel like I wish more friends that feel like me would dare to do it as well. And I wish my white friends and the people surrounding me would dare more to speak up. It's so important. And that's why I actually accept to speak with you about this, because it is so important that they have these conversations between them, with their families, because it could be their moms or aunts or, you know, that it could be that.
I mean, I was very hesitant before I DM'd you, because I really can understand that it's overwhelming and that it's been a lot of things going on, a lot of emotions, you know, reliving the trauma. But so I'm very happy that you decided to do it. And you told me also on when we were talking before that you wanted to do it because you want to empower other people.
I'm tired of educating, but I feel like this happened to me. I can speak about that right now. Since it's so, like, it happened this week, I can speak it right now and be vocal about it now and take the opportunity to remind people why this is not our fight, but their own responsibility.
Yeah.
To change that, to change the stigma, to change in the workplaces, to change in education, but everything is not about us. Like, we have done enough and we are angry now because we have done so much and not been heard for so long. So I feel it's so important, like, when people ask me, what can you do for me? And I'm just like, are you joking at this point? Because this is not new. This would happen in America, happened the recent case, but it's not new for anyone. But your interest is new. Mm. But it's not my problem at this point. And I should be more tolerant. But I can't anymore because it's mentally exhausted and it's triggering. And I feel like, just make it normal. I just want to have the same opportunities, have to people to deal with me in the same way and seen in the same way, like microaggressions and all. I just want that to be gone.
So when you moved here, you spoke about that it wasn't your first time, you know, being subjected to racism. You were talking about microaggression. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your experiences.
It has happened, not with the police.
But
it has happened like in airplanes when people do not want to sit next to me or stuff like that, or at work, or with friends or people that you know, that with joking and all those things. But I think what that has affected me the most has been at work, because I moved here to work as well. Mm. And to find my passion and to do things that I want to do. And I work in the fashion industry. And I feel it is a hard industry. And it's industry based on visuals. So you see now lately, like for the past 2 years, 3 years, you have seen a lot of black models on covers and everything. But if you look inside those companies, you don't see any diversity. And that's what I mean.
And very white.
And I've been part of companies where I have mostly have been the only black person. And then when I see racist things happening or these microaggressions, and then I was being vocal, I rarely got support for that. It would happen that I've been vocal in a space where is a lot of people present and they listen to me and everyone listens, and then the person who is holding the talk, she ignores or just downplays whatever I'm saying. And I get so frustrated, I leave the room. And 5 seconds after, I have someone telling me like, oh my God, I understand you so much. This is so sad that it happens to you. But I'm like, but why don't you speak on that room? Because me speaking alone will never change. Like me standing here alone, trying to make a difference, it will be so hard. I need people to speak up on the rooms we are. Because you telling me, oh, I understand you and you're so right, doesn't change anything because I know I'm right. But the rest of the room needs to know and needs to be more vocal about it. So this is what I mean about, and like culture appropriation and work in the fashion industry. And
you see a lot of, there's a lot of racism going on there.
Yeah. So it has been... This is just a little bit, but it has been a lot of stuff that has happened. And that's what makes it build me up as well.
I got it. So there's a lot of experiences building up to this.
And this with the police is a very bad, like it hasn't, it ha- I had to have as a, like a teenager growing up in Portugal, it happens. This.
So it's not but completely
it's,
new.
But it's, no, it's not completely, but it's also so different. It's such a different culture and different country. And Portugal has colonies. It has colonized Africa and everything.
Yeah.
So it is very different than Sweden.
You've been through a lot of stuff, and then this happens, and then you decide to post it.
Mm.
And how is the response? I mean,
it's amazing.
Okay.
It is. It has been incredible, and I'm so thankful for Lovette because I shared. And a lot of people who follow me have seen it, but didn't really comment. But from the moment that Lovette posts it and shares it, I get, even the ones I've seen before, reaching out to me and talking about it, like, I'm so sad this happened to you, and sharing and doing all those things. And I'm just like, my black friends, I understand them. Like, they talk with me. They talk to me directly. They share directly. Man, my white friends, I just like, What are you scared of? when you see those things? It's just a question I have, like, what? Because you're scared of something. Because if you don't share, if you don't engage on this situation with me, I ask you, like, what are you scared of? Because it affects me, and you know me, and you can, it's just like kindness. And you don't need to wait people to engage, so you to engage. You can do that by yourself. And I'm not asking, like, to engage public. It's just like, talk to me as a person. Because it matters. It matters a lot. And I've got a lot of message, and a lot of people are very sweet. And we found the person, even I didn't got...
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that on Instagram.
We found the person. And
internet is a great private
detective. Oh, my God. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And our students were very frustrated. And it's not the first time she...
She has a track
maybe not doing things like this, but like mistreating students.
Yeah, I read something about that. I'm thinking like future wise.
Yeah.
I mean, you've done this. First and foremost, I want to ask you, except for posting this, did you press any charge? Yes. Did you do any other actions?
Yeah. So I'm working. It has been 3 days since then. So I'm working now on pressing charges, and I have talked with Louvette, and she has told me how it goes and how it works and what's the best way. I do not want to go to a police office to do this, so I'm looking at the best way to do it online and formulate myself good. And I was.
Why don't you want to go to police office?
I don't know. I'm scared, to be honest. How sad is that?
It's very sad.
It's very sad because. I'm scared of giving my face. You know, my first action when this got the visibility they got, I was just like, I need to take my information online from the internet. Because if you go to Hitte.se, you can find my address. You got
double scared.
And it's so sad that my first thought that...
It's not only sad, it's a democratic problem.
Yeah,
it's a problem
because even if I got so much support, I'm still scared that someone will just flip it up and want to make something like... do something against me. And I was like, even that is, I have done nothing wrong. I just have spoke up.
I mean, it's in America, you just say walking while black, driving while black, living while black.
Exactly. So I'm a little bit scared maybe of going to a police office and giving my face. And I have friends that they're standing with me and they want to go with me and be there for me.
I'll go with you if you need me. I just want you to know.
Thank you. But it's more, and it's mostly this, it's a legit fear.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
But I'm working on filing that complaint, and I want to do properly. And I want to, against the police and against this lady, because I feel we can't forgive ignorance anymore. It is time to stop forgiving ignorance, because this has caused me trauma. And I everyone says I'm quite strong, and I don't know how I'll be in a week after this. Now I'm like going and sharing and talking about it and ventilating, but I don't know how I'm going to feel about this in the future and all the things that can happen. And so I just feel she needs to be held accountable for this, for sure. I don't want her to lose her job and nothing like that. It's not about this, but just like something has to happen. I'm not even looking for money, but it's just like this needs to be a lesson for someone. Because this can happen like this. You can't, I would never do it. You can't look someone and just based on their skin color or their hair, like just blame them for something. You don't even watch it. You weren't there. So this can happen. It's like as nervous as you are, as scared as you are, as I know it's your son, but still. You need to think. It's another people's life that you're involving in this situation. And it's unfair. You know, it is super unfair. You lose, I lose, everyone loses at this. So I think it's so important that this is a lesson for everyone involved. And even I'm hungry. For me, it's mostly like, no, I'm not going to give up on it because this needs to be a lesson. And I encourage everyone who goes through this to do the same. Because before you just like, yeah, it happens. And then you go and you go to your community and you say, oh, this happened. And I'm so sad this happened. But at this point, I just feel like, no, we need to share more and we need to support each other and we need to make things like this more visible because people still believe there's no racism in Sweden. And yeah, this happens. Maybe it wasn't intentional.
Yeah.
I tell that. I give her that. Maybe it wasn't intentional. But still, I wasn't running.
Well, the impact is still there.
Yeah. I wasn't running. I didn't anything wrong. And I was a woman. And based on all those facts, you still came to me and you blame me of something. I haven't done it. And you couldn't apologize for that because you needed to justify yourself and your actions. You need to stop and think, what are you causing to the other person when you don't apologize and when you don't show any regret just because you want to justify your actions? You understand?
I understand.
Yeah.
Katya, thank you very, very much for sharing your story.
Yeah.
You know, I just want you to know that you're not alone. And I'm full of admiration that you decided to expose yourself and to speak on it. And I hope that you feel better today.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you know, you can always reach out. There's a lot of people out there watching your back and looking for
right now. My focus is my mental health. And I tell that to every Black woman, if you don't feel okay, please look for help. Because it has been years and years and years of trauma, and it doesn't help to just go in over and over and again. So I think that's the priority number one for me, is that I'm going to feel good about this and that I'm not going to create any fear based on what happened to me.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Health is wealth. I just think that's the best way to end this conversation. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.